The story of Milwaukee's Menominee Valley over the past decade has been one of successful rebirth. What was once a blighted industrial and former industrial strip in the heart of the city is now filled with new businesses, a state park, and is bookended by a museum and a baseball stadium.
Many in the city would like to see the area designated as the Harbor District be the next redevelopment success story. It's Milwaukee's gateway from Lake Michigan and presents almost a blank slate in many ways, or at the very least represents an underutilized waterfront.
Tomorrow, a significant step towards that redevelopment takes place with the groundbreaking ceremony for the first park space in the Harbor District. It'll be called Harbor View Plaza. Dan Adams is planning director for the Harbor District. Before the massive changes to the area, he gave WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Bentz a look at the area and explained what it will become.
So when it's complete, people will, come to it down Greenfield Avenue here. You're going to be able to see it from pretty far back. We're going to have some pretty big signage over here. And then next spring, we're going to be installing a very tall play structure that's going to be a shipping container. So it'll be visible, kind of turned on its end, so kind of a tower. So kids will be able to climb up inside it and from on top get a view of the area. So that'll be pretty visible from down the street. And then as you get closer, there's going to be a lot of new plantings, new trees, new native landscaping. There'll be a water feature in the middle.
Sort of a wetland thing?
A little bit. It will have some water in it, and there'll be native kind of semi-aquatic plants in it. And also feeding into that will be a little small water play area where kids will be able to use a water pump to kind of fill a little river area, which they can then dam and play in the water and things like that. And then that flows into the water feature. And then there'll be all sorts of seating, landscaping, and then at the water's edge, when you get all the way down here, is going to be the first canoe kayak launch in the area. It'll be ADA compliant canoe kayak launch, which allow people to get right down to the water's edge. So even if they're not using a canoe or kayak, it'd be interesting to get down to the water because so much of this area, you're elevated on the top of the dock walls. It's difficult to get that close to the water, and so this will be an opportunity for that.
So how much will you move into the water itself? Just a little bit?
We won't at all, except for the floating dock. The floating dock will obviously be on the water.
And the reason?
But the site itself just goes up to the dock wall.
And there's a reason for that?
There's a lot of reason for that. Once you cross the dock wall, there's a lot more regulations at play. It gets way more difficult, way more expensive. Not to mention, this is an active commercial shipping area, and so we don't want to take any of that waterway. You can see it's pretty narrow already from here to Jones Island. And so we're just using the space that's available here to get people to the water's edge so they get close enough, they can enjoy the ships, they can enjoy the beautiful scenery, which is funny. 20 years ago, no one would have considered this beautiful scenery, but now people want to come down here and see the activity. The city's heavy lift dock is across the way, so whenever the port's shipping in or out very large cargo, it all happens right there. So this will be, ground zero, the best place to view that. And then, of course, all the loading over there. You can see right now, the Algoma Innovators over there unloading salt, fresh from the Goderich Mine in Ontario, the largest salt mine in the world. So this would be the best place for people to come down. You'd be surprised how often we get emails and phone calls from people saying, my kid's really into boats. Where can I come down and watch the ships of the port? Now we're going to have an easy answer. We say, come down to Harbor View Plaza, you're going to have the best view of the port right here.
So people, in terms of access to the place, you have parking, on both sides of the street on Greenfield,
all the parking
railroad tracks
will be right
basically
on the street.
Yeah. And you're hoping people will be biking here.
Biking, walking, taking the bus. We have, multiple bus lines stopped just 3 blocks away here at First and Greenfield, so it's an easy way to get down here. We already have a lot of people that bike down here, especially lunchtime. You come down, a lot of people bike and sit here and even in the state it's in now, have lunch and watch the boats. But imagine how much more attractive it'll be once it's a functioning, beautiful, attractive park space.
We see this fencing right now.
Right.
Not so long ago, there was a coal pile there.
Yeah,
and beyond that were structures from the old Solvay plant.
Right.
So what's evolving in these spaces?
We have plans in the Harbor District Water and Land Use Plan for a suggested kind of program for what we'd like to see here, which would be a public waterfront. So this park we're talking about is kind of the first toe in the water, if you will, for public access down here, and we're hoping it leads to many more public improvements in the future going down the waterfront here, and eventually part of a larger riverwalk system. Behind that, the plan recommends a mix of commercial office uses, light industrial uses, things like that. The coal pile site, there's been no kind of news as of late of what's going on with that. Behind that, the Solvay Coke site owned by We Energies, there was an announcement.
Acres.
Yeah, about 45 acres. Two or three weeks ago, they announced they've been talking to Komatsu, who has been interested in that property. But I think there's still a lot of discussion to go to see if that'll work out. So we're waiting and trying to get information to see, you know, how future uses can kind of fit into the vision put forth by the water and land use plan that was adopted earlier this year.
So, Dan, how does the creation of this park, how significant is all this to the vision of the, including in that, I think, what is there, 9 miles of...
Yeah, you're right. You got that. 9 miles of waterfront in the district.
Yeah, yeah.
And so out of that 9 miles, the only place where the public can really get down to the water is the county boat launch about a half mile north of here, which is, you know, just a few very similar to this, a few benches and mostly concrete. And then really, there aren't any other public access points in that 9 miles. And so this park is extremely important in that it's going to provide a nice welcoming space for people to come down. Because I think if you go back 3 years to when we started our planning process, we started asking people questions about this area about, oh, you know, what do you know about it now? What would you like to see here in the future? We got a lot of blank stares and shrugs because there was no, right, there's no way for people to come down here. Even people lived a few blocks away said, well, I'm not really sure where you're talking about. And so this park will provide a space to kind of open that conversation up even further. And so while we have this plan, there's still a lot of details to be kind of framed out within that. And so this will kind of be the hook to get people into the conversation further and really experience the space and appreciate the working waterfront that Milwaukee has. So many people, when we talk to them, they think most of this is vacant and not used, and that's not the case. The port is very active, a lot of the businesses around here are active, and so this will provide a space for people to come down and see that kind of dance on the waterfront, the working waterfront that we talk down here, and gain an appreciation for it.
So we have the Riverwalk. And again, you know, we talked about access, about the potential of the public being able to, you know, walk or bike or jog, you know, bigger sections of these 9 miles. Is part of the vision that, you know, perhaps that could be built into the development, again, back where we're looking, where coal used to be stored, et cetera?
Oh, yeah. One of the most popular elements, I think, of the water and land use plan was the proposed Riverwalk, which would go from where the Riverwalk kind of ends now in the north end of Walker's Point, along this whole western shore of the Harbor District and up the Kinnikinnick River, eventually on both sides of the river. We've been talking to property owners about it recently and kind of slowly advancing that conversation. We'll have to get creative with how it goes because there are operations at the water's edge that you know, you don't want people walking through between certain boats and things like that, but I think our goal is to eventually develop a continuous network throughout this western edge of the Harbor District that provides a public access for people to get down to the waterfront, and it isn't disjointed. So, you know, if you're going for a jog or something, you're not zigzagging back and forth, and it's a pleasurable experience, and you can get from point A to point B. And so we're working on the Riverwalk.
And here in the harbor, what is it, like 60% of the land or properties are privately owned by a bunch of people?
Yeah,
and that means
yeah.
negotiating with a lot of,
that is very true.
Moving parts.
That's
right?
You did your homework, because I think about Jones Island adds up to about 40% of our land area. So the other 60%, other than the coal pile site here, is pretty much all privately owned. So we're following the model of what they did downtown, and then more recently in the Menominee Valley with the Riverwalk. We're pursuing a Riverwalk overlay zone, but that's kind of a negotiation with property owners and getting everyone to kind of buy in the vision and what it'll mean in the future. And you have to think more longer term, because as you know, the downtown Riverwalk, that overlay was put in I think 20 or 25 years ago at this point. And so it kind of built out incrementally over time, and we may have to do that here, although we're hoping to bite off some bigger chunks earlier rather than later, where there are opportunities.
Like where?
Right across the street here. I mean, simply because you don't have buildings at the water's edge or anywhere here, and so
it could be incorporated in its redevelopment.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Or for example, the Michaels development, which was recently announced for the former Horny Goat Brewery site.
Right.
That's all their property,
right.
And their plans have a public Riverwalk along their whole water's edge right there, and so I think that'll begin to change the conversation a bit as people understand that there is a possibility to bring public access to the water's edge down here.
Another percolating project is the Grand Trunk Wetland.
Yes.
And there's access built into that. Eventually these will be joined in some
way. You get the vision, Susan. That's exactly it. So right across the water over there is behind those grain silos is the Grand Trunk Wetland.
It's not that far.
It's not that far, but if you think of the future potential riverwalk, you go down this side of the KK River and you come back up the other side of the KK River. The Grand Trunk would essentially be the north end of that side of the river's riverwalk. And so, yeah, there's planning going on right now, so even more planning. There's always more to be done. Both for how are they going to finish and actually construct the wetland, which is the $3 million grant the city got to work on that from the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, but also how do we connect that wetland to public access in a manner that doesn't detract from the wetland. You got to be careful. You don't want people in there trampling the natural habitat, but you want them to have some ability to experience it so they can appreciate what it is, why it's there, the function it serves. The goal is that we're putting in these different nodes of public access that over time will fill in and connect a continuous network, both for people and eventually for animals, you know, fish, wildlife.
Another focus is the quality of the water that this is, we're sitting in an area of concern, right?
Yep.
Explain what that means and how that factors into the way you're thinking and planning.
So the area of concern is an EPA designation for Great Lakes areas where there are certain impairments to the water quality, and so Milwaukee...
Pollution.
Yeah, pollution, things like that. And so, yeah, the Milwaukee estuary of concern covers the inner harbor, the outer harbor, and our three rivers up to a certain point. And so, obviously, when we're bringing people down to the water's edge, we want it to be a pleasurable experience. We don't want people to go down onto our first canoe-kayak launch dock and see a bunch of junk floating by or wondering about the safety of the water. And so there's a number of partners that have been working on it for a number of years, and I think it's gathering more momentum about just getting support behind different projects to kind of address those pollution issues or the various impairments related to the AOC. So things like we're working on a project to install a trash wheel on the Kinnikinnick River.
Get to that. That would be near the Michaels, right?
That would be right, basically across the street from
that. So that would be an attraction.
That would be
for people.
Well, it'd be attraction in many ways. I think visually it would be an attraction, but it would be attraction that it would improve the water quality and the aesthetics of the water, thus making a future riverwalk and public access and Harborview Plaza itself even more attractive in the future when people know they can come down and the water is going to be a pleasurable experience as opposed to, you know, sifting through whatever is flowing down.
So explain where that is. Why it's tricky, because it's sort of a bottleneck, isn't it?
Yeah, so the Kinnikinnick River is the smallest of the three rivers that flow into the harbor, and it's the most urbanized watershed. It's 99, if not 100% urban watershed. And so all the runoff that comes off our streets, parking lots, driveways, everything all ends up in that river. But because it's the smallest...
And the junk with it.
And the junk, yeah. And when I say runoff, it's mostly junk. It's, you know, trash, litter, debris, whatever. And so right at the Beecher Street Bridge, so very close to Michael's development site, so Beecher Street Bridge on the KK River, that is the end of the navigable channel. So boats with motors don't go past that bridge. And there is also an MMSD property right there that would allow us to service a potential trash wheel. So if you put a trash wheel at that site and you have two booms going to each side of the river, that acts as a funnel that would collect all the trash flowing on the surface of the water and funnel it into this trash wheel, which would then dump it into a dumpster. And using the MMSD site for access, we could haul that away to the landfill, thus catching all the trash before it even gets down into the harbor, and hopefully making our waters out here very clean and pristine.
And there is such a wheel in
Baltimore.
Baltimore.
And so in Baltimore they've installed at least two of them, maybe three of them at this point. I know they were working on their third one. It is powered by primarily the flow of the river.
Okay.
So it's a water wheel like you would have seen on an old mill 1,000 years ago, you know, a millstone going around. They also have backup power and solar cells on top of the trash wheel. And so it's all renewable energy.
And the vision is what could be recycled would be recycled out of that.
Ideally,
it doesn't all go to the landfill.
Right. It would go into the trash stream like we have here in Milwaukee. And so certain things hopefully would get sorted out.
That's not your job, though.
No. We're not. Well, other duties as assigned. You never know. We'll see. The big success about the trash wheel in Baltimore is obviously it's scooping the garbage out of the riverway. But it's had, and I don't know if this was intended or not, but kind of a galvanizing effect for the community with regard to awareness of water quality issues and just kind of the role that their harbor plays in their community. Because it's become somewhat of a local celebrity, it has very popular social media following. They can actually detach it and it floats around, and so they'll have kind of similar to our Milwaukee Boat Parade here, they have a parade there where they float the trash wheel in the parade and so everyone can wave to it and things like that.
Okay.
So it's really built awareness awareness of water quality issues out there for them, and we'd hope it would do the same thing here. This is ultimately the near south side of Milwaukee's waterfront. This is their lakefront, their access to the rivers and to Lake Michigan. So we want to make sure it serves them as it develops over the coming years.
So that balance of neighborhood, business, building jobs,
yeah.
But with that, you know, people are part of this, not like, oh, you know, the rent is going up.
Oh, we are very, very aware of that. And that's always the kinds of fear, because you need investment for the area to change and to develop. But you also don't want that investment to drive out the people who live here now that could benefit from that investment and the people who have really contributed to the character and identity of the neighborhood now. You got to find that balance where the investment can provide new options and new things and new opportunities without pushing out the people who could benefit from those opportunities. And so that
diversity is a key
diversity
element.
Is extremely important. And throughout the planning process, two things that the community wanted to see from future development and change here in the Harbor District was, number one, access to parks and green space and to the waterways. They only have 1.8 acres of park per 1,000 residents, which is well below the city average of 8.8 acres of park, and then well below some of the lakefront communities in Milwaukee County, which are in the 20s and 30s acres of park per 1,000 residents. So we need more green space on the near south side. So that was a huge priority. And the other thing was jobs that would be accessible to people that live in the neighborhoods nearby, which I think providing new jobs in a space that's close to where people can get to would be a win for everyone. It would provide new opportunities for people in the neighborhoods nearby, and then provide a huge labor pool for employers that might move into the area.
Dan Adams is planning director for the Milwaukee Harbor District. He spoke with Susan Bentz. Groundbreaking for the area's first park, called Harborview Plaza, takes place tomorrow afternoon. There is a link to more information about the project at WUWM.com.